Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome aboard the Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
Robert Saleh may not be in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine, but we are, or to be more accurate, Zach, Marissa, and Connor Hughes are. I'm Tim McMaster along with those guys. We are catching you up on the latest Jets offseason news here on the Can't Wait podcast. Thank you for joining us on YouTube, or if you're checking out the audio version, please subscribe. Also, if you haven't already, we have lots to get to as long as technology holds up. We have a history of that not working out here on the Can't Wait podcast, but I'm confident because there are other people involved that we can do it today.
We have Master Kent helping us out. So, I mean, nothing can go wrong.
Yeah, I just want to see Marissa have to get a bucket of ice and store the MiFi underneath a table to get out of the sun. I think that was just A-plus producing.
Mm. Wait, where was it? You guys were talking about that before. Where was that?
Last live show was, Connor, you want to take, you know that.
Yeah, so my JJ, Jastrzemski, like does a lot of SNY stuff, and I think he has a podcast now, but I'm pretty sure they're a competitor to the Athletics, so I'm not going to plug it there, you can look it up. He did a golf outing, which he does every year, like the JJ Invitational or something like that. It's basically just a bunch of his friends within the media. So we did there. So I was messaging. I was like, what if we come to a live show there? We'll bring Tim. We'll bring Marissa. It'll be a blast. We'll interview because like Beningo was going to be there and like a couple of the Jet people. So I was like, oh, it'll be fun to like get it going. And it started great. I mean, it was awesome. Like, we have a great photo from there. But the problem is that, like, very quickly, what I didn't realize is not having a tent and just baking underneath. This was right after I got married. So this was probably July. Baking under the July sun, it didn't end well.
Yeah, it was eventful, but you know, we're at Radio Row right now. We got a nice little setup. Yeah, so happy to be here. Thank you for taking the time, Connor, to join us as he's
always
sitting here
for
tweeting,
you, Marissa.
Like, tweeting,
just like always, I'm tweeting out the link of the show.
Yeah.
See, that stopped when I left.
Mr. Cool Guy over here, you know, Mr. Yeah. TV, who's on all these, you know, TV hits.
Big day, time. Yeah, I'm surprised he made time for us.
He's got his really jacket bad. On and, you know. Yeah.
I said that the packing for the combine got harder when you have to worry about like not just throwing a couple quarters in and a flannel and being like, oh, no, wait, now I need blazers. I actually had to check a bag for the first time.
Can't wear joggers on TV.
No, you can. Oh. You just got it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, true, below the waist.
Yeah, yeah, because I've done the blazer and tie.
Yeah, because I see you're wearing no pants right now.
Yeah, that's true, but that's normal. It is Wednesday.
Tim, you got a transition what's on your mind, for that Tim? One?
All right,
what's
I'll on your take mind, it Tim? Back here. This show is going to be like this the whole time.
It's been a busy week for the Jets. We got a lot
you
to
guys
get
got
to.
Me for. I don't have anything. I have to do a hit later with Janae, but that's it. So you guys got me for long time.
Oh, God. Yeah.
What I was going to say was we're going to try to stay out of the darkness on this show now that Aaron Rodgers is out of the darkness. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about Joe Douglas and what he had to say at the Combine on Tuesday, his thoughts on Derek Carr, Quinn and Williams, and more. So lots to get to. And I am obviously jealous that you guys are all there together. I think there was plans. You said you guys were all going to go out to dinner and include me on a tablet and an empty chair. We're gonna try to do that.
If we can make some space for you, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still in recovery right now. I had a rough one yesterday. And not for the really fun time that you would think, oh, Connor's at the combine, like, oh, he's probably so hungover. Yeah. It's like, actually no, I got food poisoning. It was just absolutely dragged
Connor,
the last 12
food
hours.
Poisoning.
I swear to God.
Connor showed up at the main bar that everybody goes to is called Prime. It's at the steakhouse. There's that meme from Simpsons where the old man like walks in, puts his jacket on, puts that back on the hook, takes it off, puts it on, walks out. That was Connor. He walked in.
Because
I'm going to be here for a little bit, 30 seconds. So he's like, I got
it. It was bad. I was, you know, you guys remember when I was on the show. Like there are times when like I think I'm a doctor. There are times when I think I'm like a doctor and I know how things work and I can just, you know, like connect these dots. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We're just going to go forward with it. So like obviously I had food poisoning. It clears you out. And I was like, oh. There's definitely nothing left. I'm totally fine now. Let's recover and go out. And I literally got to the bar, walked in, and was like, oh no, like hell is just starting to break loose. And I immediately went right back home and was on my, you know what, for the next like every 2 hours waking up. It was I literally woke up today.
Exactly,
I was like, what am I supposed to do?
This is exactly what people tuned in for. Oh, you know? Yeah. The Jets are
I've talked enough about quarterbacks. I'm good.
Yeah.
So yeah, but now of course, like, you know, right after having getting food poisoning, we're gonna go out for Mexican food tonight. So
yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
That's gonna go well. I'm sure that's gonna Marissa for the third time she's going there.
Second, but yes. So it's been an eventful week, so far for the Jets. Right, yeah. Tim? Right, Zach? Right, Connor?
Wow, everyone does transitions.
Thank you.
Now. Where the hell this?
Thank you, Marissa. Let's move on to let's talk about another podcast. I didn't know existed until yesterday. That is the Aubrey Marcus podcast. Good friends of Aaron Rodgers, apparently. And they dropped the trailer for today's episode yesterday about how Aaron was going to talk all about his time in the darkness, his 4 days, and what came out of it. And I know the initial thought I had was, this is going to be a waste of time to listen to. So thankfully, I didn't listen to it. I don't know if either of you guys did or you just read the...
it was Tyler Dunn, right? Shout him out.
Yeah,
he did
a lot of the transcribing. Yeah. And then Matt Schneidman from The Athletic.
He walked so we could run.
Matt Schneidman listened to the entire podcast and tweeted some, like, thoughts. It was, like, apparently, like, an hour and a half podcast or something like that.
Yeah, hour and 40 minutes, I think.
Oh, my God. So
I have a few quotes, and we can get into it. But the moral here is that, as expected, Aaron Rodgers did not make a decision on the podcast. He basically said, I'm going to make a decision soon, which is something he's been saying for quite a while. I think at one point he said, last year, this dragged out till March 8th. I want to get this done much sooner this year. Well, we're in March now, and we're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers. But he did say, quote, better for everyone if I make a decision soon. He brought up Brett Favre and back in that time and what a tough time that was on him, not knowing if Brett Favre was going to be back with the Packers when eventually Brett Favre was traded to the Jets, ironically. But then this is the one quote I wanted to share with you guys for this. He said, I don't want to drag anybody around. Look, I'm answering questions about it because they asked about it. I'm talking about it because it's important to me. If you don't like it, if you think it's drama, you think I'm being a diva or whatever, just tune it out. That's fine. But this is my life. It's important to me and I'll make the decision soon enough. And then we'll go down the road and we'll be really excited about it. Interesting that at least he's self-aware enough to know that people are calling him a diva. That's what I
he loves every second of,
out of this. But also, in all the talk he's doing, he at least realizes that. Do you guys have thoughts? I'll just kind of pass it on to you guys. Thoughts on realistic timeline for this decision and whatever else about this podcast?
Well, I'll say it is always funny when he says stuff like that, or that when he's like surprised that people are like taking, I can't believe everybody went crazy about this darkness retreat I'm going on. You mean the thing that like nobody's ever done in the NFL, and you're like the most famous guy,
300 square
and you're like making a decision about your future. Like, he acts like surprised that everybody's all like interested in what he has to say. You ignore it. Well, if I turn on any sports channel, they're talking about you, so it's not easy to ignore. But anyway, I mean, Connor and I have talked a lot about this, obviously. Like, I have no idea how this is going to go. I don't know when it's going to end. Like, he says he doesn't want to drag it out as he's dragging it out. I think it'll be before free agency. I think we'll know. If it's Carr or Rodgers, I think we'll know who the Jets quarterback is within the next couple weeks, probably. But there also is, like,
the starts March.
Yeah, March.
The window 15th? Is March 13th.
Yeah. The legal tamper. That's free agency.
Tampering.
That's
exactly. So, I mean, the Jets obviously would like to have their quarterback by then. The Rodgers thing, there's trade negotiations that you have to factor in, and I imagine they probably want to get assurances from him that he'll be there for more than a year. And Carr, there's contract negotiations, but yeah, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is such a wild card. Like, a lot of those quotes made me think he's not going to retire, but I don't know. He could come out next week and say, I'm retiring, and like, I don't think people in the Packers know what he's going to do, and that's so the Jets are kind of waiting. I don't know if it's the best idea to keep waiting for him, but I don't have an idea of when it's going to happen, but I think before free agency. Like, I feel pretty confident about
that. I thought it was going to be this week. I honestly thought that at some point, whether, and it still might. I mean, what is it, Wednesday? So, I mean, it still might. I mean, it could happen later today. I don't know when this podcast was recorded. It could happen Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, I still thought that there was a chance Jets wouldn't know necessarily who their quarterback was going to be, but we were going to figure out Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Rodgers was that domino to fall, whether he was saying, I'm going to retire, I want to go back to Green Bay, I want to change the scenery, whatever that was. But the thing is that I keep digging on this, and everyone on this beat keeps digging on this. And the thing is that the reason why nobody knows is because literally nobody knows. I mean, Aaron Rodgers right now is ghosting Matt LaFleur and the Packers general manager. He's not talking to them. Yeah. Obviously, if he's not talking to them, he's not talking to any of the reporters. It's not like he's calling up Saleh. Like, I mean, it's not like he's talking to him. I know he's tight with Hackett, but it's not like he's breaking that one down as well, where it's just nobody knows what Aaron Rodgers wants. And until Aaron Rodgers lets everyone know what Aaron Rodgers wants, whether it is retirement, whether it is the Packers, whether it is the Jets, whether it is the Raiders, or I don't think that's going to necessarily happen anymore, you're in this ugly holding pattern. And make no mistake about it. Like, he is loving every single second of this. He's the guy that's like, guys, what do you keep paying attention to me? Like, oh, but by the way, look what I'm about to do here. I mean,
it reminds me of when we're in training camp and you're acting all surprised that people are like calling your name. You're like, I'll stop it. I'm fine. I'll come take a photo with you.
I hate this.
This is the worst. Hey, you want a photo?
Good one, Zach.
Yeah. But my thing with it is like here's the thing. And I got to the point yesterday where I basically was like, I think I'm just out on the Aaron Rodgers thing. Where it's like, because I've been, again, it's my opinion and it doesn't matter. And my whole stance with every time I report and every time I write is that it's my job to get you to know what the Jets are doing and then try to relay that. It's the same thing we all do. But my stance, I was like, you know what, I'm going to voice my opinion on it. And my opinion on it was like, you can't wait forever for Aaron Rodgers. And at some point, if you're not going to wait forever for Aaron Rodgers, what you can have and the assurances of what you can have in Derek Carr and signing Derek Carr, I think that takes precedence over like waiting and waiting and waiting as Rodgers drags his feet, only to then have Rodgers say, yeah, I want to come back and I want to play for the Packers. Carr goes to the Panthers and suddenly you're left with Jimmy or Tannehill. And it's like, well, why the hell would you do that? But I think the X factor of it all is that we can say like the distractions aren't worth it. The circus that might come with Aaron Rodgers is not worth it. Like, just go with the safer bet and Derek Carr and get Derek Carr. But the thing is, and this is what I think people, myself included, I was like, basically I got to the point where I was like, go get Carr. Just forget about Aaron Rodgers. Blow this up. Just get the assurances now. But then what you go back to, and I was brought back to by a couple people I talked to, were like, what you're forgetting is that Derek Carr is a very, very good quarterback in the NFL. He is. He's a very, very good quarterback. I think if you put the right pieces around him, a good offensive coordinator, not a dysfunctional system like the Raiders are, weapons, all that fun stuff, you can probably make the argument that he becomes maybe not great, but he's right up there as a top 8, top 10 quarterback, no doubt. When we talk about Aaron Rodgers, though, we are not talking about top 8, top 10 quarterback in the NFL. We are talking about one of the top 5 to ever walk planet Earth. Like he is that good. And I know he had a bad season.
Well, he was
bad
at some point, though, right?
But here's the thing, and this is where, like, you have to trust who you talk to. But it's I look at last year and I'm like, I see a guy who just turned 39, he's coming off, you know, bad season. He's still doing 26.
Yeah, like I said, the best Jet season ever.
is his bad season. Yeah. But it's like, okay, is it just gonna get worse? Is it gonna get older? Are you only gonna have him for 2 years? Blah blah blah. But what the people that I've touched base with who I really trust who would be involved in the situation, outside involved in the situation, just know more about quarterback play than I could ever dream of. They look at it and they say he had a bum thumb he hurt his thumb against the Giants in like week 5, and that really took an impact on him. The weapons weren't really there. It all kind of fell apart for Green Bay. He still is good, but when he's healthy, he is still that top 3, top 5 quarterback in the NFL, still top 3, 5 quarterback to ever play in the NFL ever. And if you're the Jets and you're looking at that, it's so tantalizing and it's so not sobering, but it's almost like it's intoxicating to look at this roster that they have with an offensive line that will be better when they move some money around and fortify the line. You've got Breece Hall. You've got the weapons on wide. You have a defense you believe is championship ready already. And then you add a player of Aaron Rodgers' capability to that. I think the Jets are a contender within the AFC with Derek Carr. If you get Aaron Rodgers, they are a contender to win the Super Bowl. Like, they a contender, maybe not even contender, maybe favorite. Like, if you get Aaron Rodgers of 2020, 2021 on this Jets team. And that's why they're willing to wait. That's why they're waiting this one out. Do I agree with it all the time? I don't know, but it's tough. It's tough. And you just wish that Rodgers would come out here at some point and just be like, hey, I don't want to play. And then the Jets can move forward. But the reason why they're waiting is because this guy is just that good. There is a legitimate, I know you can talk about the circus and you can talk about you have to trade picks to get Rodgers and all that stuff. But the difference in talent between Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr is so substantial. And that's not a shot at Derek Carr. It's a testament to how good Aaron Rodgers is that the Jets right now are waiting.
All right, we got a question in the chat that I think is worth asking you guys. It's from Ragnar Jed. He says, hey, Zach and Connor, don't you think Aaron already had some private talks about the future with Nathaniel and that JD already knows things?
Obviously,
otherwise, would they not risk losing Carr by waiting?
That is a good question. I do get the sense that they've, like, you know, Hackett has that relationship, and I really don't think he knows what Rodgers wants to do still. Like, I really think that's, like, I know they hired Hackett, and everybody kind of assumed that was like a direct line to getting Aaron, but I don't think it's really that simple, honestly. Because you look at the other teams that are even looking at him, you have Davante Adams is, you know, maybe more of a direct line than Nathaniel Hackett. Like, I don't know. That another factor in all this, beyond just like, yes, the Jets should go and get him if they can, is there's a lot of steps between that and like the trade actually happening. You know, you have to. He has to say, I want to leave the Packers. He has to say, I want to go to the Jets, which, you know, I'm not 100% convinced that, like, he's, like, absolutely, like, that's where I want to go. And then you have to negotiate the trade. You have to do the trade. And then after you get Rodgers, you also have to build the offensive line. You have to get some help on defense still. You have to make some tough decisions of cutting some of these guys. They probably need another receiver. So, like, it's not like a straight line. And so it's a lot more complicated than just signing Derek Carr right now, which is why I'm with Connor and that I would just do that because Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, you know, their jobs are on the line here. Like if they wait for Rodgers and don't get him and they don't get Carr and Carr goes to the Saints and, you know, you have to settle for Jimmy G and he gets hurt in week five, like all of a sudden everybody's really sweating their jobs and they all know this. And Joe Douglas has a really tough task ahead this offseason. He has to walk a really fine line. He has to get the quarterback. He has to, you know, and then he's not going to have as much money to fill out the roster with like star guys. So he has to like hit on everything like he did last year. Sign a DJ retape guy, you know, hit on all your draft picks, then you have a really good roster. But there's a lot on the line here, and it's risky if you wait for Rodgers. I get that it's worth the risk if you get him ultimately. And he sells tickets, which I'm sure is a big appeal for Woody. Like he's a guy, everybody's going to be wearing a Rodgers jersey in that stadium next year if they get him. So I don't know. I don't know what you think about that question. But
yeah, look, the truth is that nobody knows. Like the Packers do not know. The Jets do not know. When kind of what Zach said, I thought as soon as they hired Hackett, I was like, there's your line to Rodgers. You're going to know. You're going to have it. And all the Jets know basically what they've been saying continually is that they just know they're going to have a veteran quarterback. They're going to get a veteran quarterback in here. He's going to start ahead of Zach Wilson. That's the guy. But I think there does come a point where you have to say, we can't wait any longer.
Yeah.
Like there does, but we are not there yet. Now, is it at the end of this week? Is it early next week? Now, from my understanding, Carr wants to be signed before the legal tampering period because he wants to then help recruit free agents to the team that he ends up going to. So if he goes to Carolina, if he goes to New Orleans, if he goes to the Jets, he can help bring other players with him and make calls, make recruiting and all that stuff. So you ultimately need, in my opinion on this, the Jets have to come away with either Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. And if you want to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and then you get Aaron Rodgers, great. But what you can't afford to do is wait and wait and wait and wait and wait on Rodgers, lose out on Rodgers, lose out on Carr, and then have to go to Jimmy. Because I don't think – look, Jimmy made a lot of sense when LaFleur was this team's offensive coordinator. I don't think his makes as much sense now, even though Robert loves him. And
also, there's not to cut you off, but there's also no guarantee he signs with you either. Like other teams are going to be interested in Jimmy G also. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And if you're Jimmy, like I'm sure knowing that guy, he would probably love New York.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he absolutely would
and
love
they would
that.
Have to, they would have to overpay him because you can't afford to like not.
And then he has all the cards. Power, and all of a sudden you're paying him more. And then it's like, well, what is Jimmy? Like it's a very difficult situation. You're just hoping for some kind of resolution. When you read those quotes, like I said, that have been transcribed off of the podcast and stuff like that, it does seem like Rodgers is going to make a decision sort of soon. It's just a matter of, is he really going to try to milk this one till like March 10th? And suddenly then he tells the Jets, and the Jets have 3 days to get something done with Carr. Now, the one thing I will say is that it does seem like Carr is at least aware
of the situation.
So it's not like Carr basically going around saying, you know, wait, so I'm the consolation prize? Like I'm like, oh, so just because, you know, the prom queen said no, now you want to go with me? Like, it doesn't seem like he's, I think he's aware that Aaron Rodgers is a different animal. Like, he is a different animal. And until you know where he's going, then it's going to go elsewhere. But if, again, we say this about Carr, like, I think the reason he might also be willing to wait sort of with the Jets is that he knows the Jets are his best opportunity. Like, the Jets are going to give him the best coaching staff, and they're going to give him the best defense and the best weapons and the receivers. And there's the New York thing, certainly, but if they win, then there is no New York thing.
Yeah, it's all about winning, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just blanked on what I was going to say.
No, but it's just going off of, like I said, it's a tough spot right now for the Jets to be in, but it's not like they have to have their decision right now at this moment. But there is going to come a time where it's like, well, we can't wait any longer. But after that podcast, again, there's no date. You have no idea when that was recorded. I don't know if they said when it was recorded. Like, who knows? But at this point, it's just you wish for the sake of everyone that was involved. Like Matt LaFleur, thinking about Robert Saleh, the Packers receivers, Christian, all these guys that just want to know. And I know I talked to somebody in the league about it, and I was like, man, I feel for the Packers because I feel like they're just being dragged along, and I feel for the Jets that are dragged along. And I was like, and I feel for Matt LaFleur. And I was like, the guy's like, I mean, it's like you're a head coach. You either have a top five quarterback or you're going to have to figure out maybe Jordan Love is like, they're a Super Bowl contender with him.
And he has to sit there on Tuesday and watch Pat McAfee show to find out.
Exactly. And like, he's not like the guy's not talking like all of this stuff. And then it's just like, but everything I've heard about is just Matt knows this is the song and dance. And this is what he has to do in order
comes
to
with the territory.
Yeah. And he's just learned to accept it. It's the same thing that happened last year and the same thing that happened the year before that. It's just, he's dealing with it, but it's just a shame because like I said, the Jets are, obviously, in this holding pattern as well, because if Rodgers came out today and said, I'm going to Green Bay, I want to go back to Green Bay, I want to retire, the Jets would be finding whatever corridor down in Indianapolis that Derek Carr is hanging out
fast,
with. Oh, yeah, they'd get him immediately. Like, they would be like, let's finalize this, let's go. And so it's.
By the way, what I meant to say before is another fact, and we'll get into this with Derek Carr. I'm sure Tim wants to talk about him next, but. Like, I think he's probably waiting for Rodgers, too, because if Rodgers says he's going back to the Packers, he knows the Jets are going to be desperate, too. Oh, yeah. Like, he's going to be able to get a lot of money.
Oh, he'll be able to get close to 40. I would think. Yeah. I know he's like 35 million.
If Daniel Jones is asking for, I talked about this with Robert Mays yesterday. If Daniel Jones is asking for 45, Derek Carr is a lot more accomplished than Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Like, he's a good football player.
I'm very curious to see what the contract will look like. But, yeah, Tim, you want to talk about Derek next, or we got a break?
We got a break first, but yeah, we're going to come back, talk about Derek Carr, talk about Quinnen Williams, cap space, all that fun stuff, kind of live from Indianapolis. This is the Can't Wait podcast. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I thought the chat was going to be more excited about the return of Magic Spoon.
I'm excited about it.
I guess
it.
I'm the
it's
only
so
one
good.
that's excited.
So I love
Michael
Magic Spoon.
Dunn 1A did jump in and say that fitting that Connor is back at the same time.
That's a great point. Yeah.
As Magic Spoon. No reports of if Connor brought his Magic Spoons to Indianapolis.
I did. I still use them though, Marissa. I do use them all the time. When we have ice cream or we have ice.
You got like spoons from them?
So when we got the Magic Spoon became a sponsor of the pod forever ago, I thought it was an actual like
magic
spoon.
Oh my god!
So I get whoever is the woman who does. Is she still at the Athletic? Who used to send out the promos that we would get?
Yes, Alyssa.
Yeah, Alyssa. So Alyssa reached out to me. She goes, "Hey, we're going to send you a Magic Spoon," and I was like, "Sweet!" Like, well, I thought it was like going to be like I don't know, like a those like box knives or like something like that. Like different things pop up. Like, oh, here's a fork, here's a knife, here's a spoon. Like, I had no idea. So then the whole box comes, and I'm like, "This is just freaking cereal. This isn't
You're
a
like,
magic
my spoon."
No, I was mad. I was annoyed. And now, granted,
but then
like,
you tried the cereal, and you
and
were like,
"The cereal
wow.
is great. It's excellent. It, yeah. All that fun stuff." Yeah. And then Marissa, for my cereal, bought me Magic Spoons that change color.
They're just spoons that. Like, when you dip
for
it
a
in
kid,
milk.
Basically,
yes,
yeah.
Or like something
or
gold.
For a Connor,
or for a Connor,
same thing
for
a
kid
Connor.
Or Connor, it's the
yeah,
same.
Equivalent.
I loved it.
He's gonna be having those spoons with his kid when he has it.
Yeah. I'm not sharing. Yeah, mine. Sure, yeah. She can get her own magic spoon.
Oh, geez.
All right, and with that, let's get back to the Jets, back to the quarterback position as well. And Derek Carr, we talked enough about Aaron Rodgers. Joe Douglas spoke quite a bit about Derek Carr. After I will say, off the top. Joe Douglas, always good with a little joke, saying you guys want to hear all about the safeties, right? Yeah. But then he moved on to Derek Carr. Let's hear a little bit of that, Marissa.
Obviously, you guys have seen reports about
us bringing Derek Carr in about a week and a half ago. I can tell you that was a fantastic visit. We really enjoyed spending time with him. Obviously, he's the only quarterback that I can really shed any light on for you guys, since he's the only quarterback that's a free agent. But you know, I can say that he left a strong impression with everybody. And so, obviously, we're going to be exploring the veteran quarterback market this offseason, and we're going to look at every available option. We feel like when it's time to make the right decision, whenever they're processed, we're going to make the best decision for the Jets. So
all good things he had to say. Have you guys heard anything about the meetings with Derek Carr other than what Joe said, you know, in a news conference yesterday?
I mean, it's all like kind of obvious stuff, and a lot of it's been reported, but it's mostly that they hit it off. I think Saleh and Carr, I think, have a very similar mindset in the way they like approach like life and things. So I think the fact that they hit it off, I know that they had dinner. Todd Downing's in the building. He's very close with Derek. I think it went very well. I don't believe any offer was given. I think they were just kind of like feeling each other out. They're going to meet again. I believe Woody Johnson is meeting with Derek in Indy today, maybe. He met with some other teams yesterday. It is interesting that Derek came to Indy to do that. It's smart, I guess, because all the teams are here. I think, like we were talking about earlier, it's all kind of in a holding pattern. I think there's definitely mutual interest. I can't really get a vibe on how he feels about like the Saints or the Panthers came into the mix now. I imagine the Jets are maybe the most appealing out of those three, but you know,
and Carolina. Carolina's a good team.
Carolina's a good team. I'm skeptical that they actually Carolina wants to pursue him or not, but I don't know. I'm sure you've been hearing a lot of the same stuff, but by all accounts, it went very well. They hit it off. I think they believe he can be the guy. You know, I've heard questions from people around the league of if he can, the whole, you know, everybody's heard this, like if he can handle the New York thing and the weather thing. Like as Connor was saying, if they're winning, the New York thing is not going to be a problem. If they're losing, then everybody's going to have problems anyway. So, I'm not as concerned about that as I think other people are.
Yeah, that's kind of like, honestly, what Zach just said is it, because that is a real concern. I mean, you talk to people that know Derek personally. You talk to anyone who's worked with him, who was with him in Oakland, who covered him in Oakland, people who covered him in Oakland and L.A., people who worked with him in Oakland and Vegas, sorry, not L.A., Vegas. And the whole, can he handle the New York? Can he handle this market? Can he do it? I mean, it's a very, very, very real concern. And I know everyone's like, I see this on Twitter all the time where people are like, oh my God, you have such an overvalued sense of what the New York media is. This is terrible. It's like, no, I mean, there is a legitimate difference between playing in New York and not playing in New York. Yeah. And I'm not saying like he goes into a press conference and there's freaking knives out and all that stuff. And everyone's like, we're going to get
and
you.
We're like, boo.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. It's just when things go south, when things go negatively.
And the hard questions come. And
that's the thing is there is no pulling punches because at the end of the day, there's nobody in that media room who's a fan of the Jets. Like that's just a fact. Like we are there to cover the team. So when things are going really, really well, you write and ask things about things going really, really well. When things are going really, really poorly, you write and ask questions about why are things going very, very poorly. And that's going to be if he has a game where the Jets start the season 2-4 and Carr's, you know, thrown 4 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, it's going to be tough. Should there be a quarterback change? Do you think it's time to go back to Zach Wilson? Should you have done this? All of that stuff is going to be taking place, and it is, can he handle it? Because he used to block members of the media in Vegas and like not do that. And then also the other side of it is that there is the fan part of this, too. I mean, Jet fans have been so starved of success for so long. This is the offseason where Woody Johnson, Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, everyone is saying, this is our year. We're going to get the quarterback, and once we get the quarterback, we believe that we are a legitimate contender within the conference. So if you get the quarterback, and fans are all fired up and geeked up and juiced up and ready to go, and then all of a sudden they lay a dud in the opener, or they lay a dud in the first 3 games, or something along those lines, and they are 2-4, or 1-3, or something along
or
those lines.
Or get killed by the Patriots or something.
Yeah. There are going to be thunderous boos raining down on this guy from the rafters. Like, what the hell, bench him, calling for Zach, calling for, back for Mike White. Like, all of this stuff is going to be happening, and it's, can he handle it? And there are legitimate concerns from all people that know Carr better than you do, better than I do, better than anyone does. That can he do it? And they do not believe he can handle it. The Jets' stance with it all is that it doesn't matter because if things are going well, he's not going to have to deal with that. If things start to not go well and they go negative, well, we're all kind of screwed because that means Robert's probably going to be out of a job. Joe's going to be out of a job. Everyone's going to be in trouble. So it's like a weird little dynamic of like, yeah, we'll roll the dice on him not being able to handle it because if he can't handle it when things go south, well, we're all going to be gone anyway. So we might as well just hope for the sunny days.
The thing I'm curious about, and you know, we don't have direct line to Derek Carr. So it's like, we don't know. Like,
you should track him down, though, and see if he says he wants to come.
Well, apparently he walked into like the Marriott last night, actually. I wasn't there.
Yeah, but, was that it?
Yeah.
Was it which one? The JW or the?
No, the regular one.
Okay.
Where the bar closes at 11. Anyway.
I'll have to sit down there now. I wonder if he heard me upstairs.
What I'm curious about is if Derek Carr thinks he can handle it. Like, nobody else seems to think he can. But, like, in his head, does he think, I'm not worried about that. I'll go to New York. I'll be able to handle criticism. Or does he, like, I'm going to go there. They're going to be on WFAN every day, and Boomer is going to be saying
that's the other thing. The radio.
I think that people forget that the radio is honestly a big part of like what they associate New York media with. So I think it's
honestly
like,
more, no offense to you guys, but I think it's more the radio than the beat writer.
Yeah.
Right? You cannot
that's
read.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. Like Tiki Barber's quotes are getting tweeted out every day when he says something crazy about the Jets. Yeah. So there is a factor of if he can handle it. And like I said, in his head, if he thinks he can handle it, then the Jets are an obvious fit. If he looks at the Jets and he looks at the Saints, he's like, I mean, the Saints have a passionate fan base, but like you're down in Louisiana and it's really not like as much of like even a national
but
attention.
That division is also the kind division's of up
easier.
For grabs.
Division's way easier. And like there's definitely appeals to the Jets, and the Saints have some talent. Like, so I'm very curious to see like what Derek Carr is weighing and like how much is it going to be salary? Because the Jets can probably pay him more than the Saints can, I imagine, because the Saints always have, you know, tough cap spot. So, I mean, they have Todd Downing in the building. There's a lot of appeal, but ultimately, if he has to decide if he can go to New York, if how he's going to handle it when things are going back, because things are not going to be perfect. They're not perfect for any team. You don't have Tom Brady. Like, there's going to be games where he has a bad game, and he maybe is the reason they lose. And how is he going to handle his press conference afterwards? Is he going to, you know, react poorly to a Connor question at the end where he asks if he puts it on his shoulders? Like, these are all things that happen in New York.
I'm done asking those questions. You're not hearing those questions anymore from me.
That's gonna be the biggest question. I think the weather thing, I personally think that's overblown. I know everybody talks about it a lot, and all the evidence is that, you know, he hasn't played that well in it. But I think the number that's always given is that he's like 0-7 when it's less than 37 degrees.
That's legit too.
It's legit, but also that's 7 games out of, you know, 150 games he started. So
7 road games.
Also. Yeah, 7 road games. So like if he's living in the cold, I feel like he'll be better off.
You adapt.
So I'm not as worried about that until it becomes
about
a problem.
The cold in February. Than I do.
The handling of criticism.
You're just.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy is you guys have known me for a while, and I think a decent number of the listeners have as well. You guys know I don't raise the pom-poms and you know, speak the company line of the Jets. I mean, I have no problem saying it stinks when it stinks, and then when it doesn't, it doesn't. But the fact is that I think ultimately what Carr is going to realize is that when you look at these other teams that are in on him, whether it is the Saints, whether it is the Panthers, whether the Colts go in on him again or anybody else, like the best team that is going or the team that is going to give him the best opportunity to win a potential Super Bowl, it is the New York Jets. They have the champion, like not to repeat this all again, but they have a championship level defense already. I know the offensive line has issues at tackle, but a lot of the problems like, oh my God, the Jets offensive line was so bad last year. It's because of how decimated by injuries they were. Dwayne Brown, the Jets are fully committed to him coming back and believe that depending on who they get at quarterback, he will be back. So that's one legitimate offensive tackle that's probably going to extend his career. You have Max Mitchell, who you really like. You have the wild card in Mekhi Becton. You have to find a center, but you got two really good guards in Laken Tomlinson. If you see him on Instagram, he is busting his ass this offseason. Plus Vera Tucker, who's going to be back, who the Jets believe has all-world potential. They can maneuver contract, create a bunch of cap space, add another offensive tackle if they want to, draft an offensive tackle, and then you have your receivers, your running, all of this. They are ready to make a legitimate run. And when the Jets went through their postseason evaluation and went through all these games, they basically played it as far as, like, if we had this quarterback, how many more games do we win? If we have this quarterback, how many more games do we win? If we have this quarterback, how many more games do they win? And when it comes to Carr, they look at it and say, we are a legitimate contender with Carr. With Rodgers, we're basically in the Super Bowl, or we're going to have a chance to be in the Super Bowl. And Carr has to be able to see that too. So, yeah, it might be tough in New York, but at the end of the day, if you can make it there, you're going to make it anywhere, which is that old silly little cliche. But if he comes to New York and he wins, that's what his career is missing. He doesn't have the playoff success. He doesn't have the Super Bowl. And if he wants that and that matters to him, he's going to get the same money everywhere. New York is the best opportunity for him. He just has to deal with the extra microscope, or like the being under intense scrutiny for any time you mess up. But here's the thing. You're not under intense scrutiny for every time you mess up if you don't mess up. Yeah. Like, it's that simple.
Also, that's a good point, and it also makes me think that, like, and I think that this was reported that the Jets, like, pitched to him, like, you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer if you come and win here.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I believe like that aspect of it, but the part I do believe, though, like if Derek Carr comes and gets the Jets to the playoffs, like he's going to be a hero in New York. Yeah. Like they're so starved to get back. You're talking about like the teams like talking about the Super Bowl. I think If they make the playoffs, fans will be happy. I don't think fans are expecting a Super Bowl if they, even if they get either of them.
No, but it's the thing is,
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, like,
they beat that good.
If you get to the dance, you have a chance, and they have not gotten there in what 12 years. So.
Never, man. My entire time to covering them, I've never seen a playoff.
So that's why, So Joe Douglas has, you know, he has the work cut out for him. You get the quarterback, you fix the, like, the holes that are obvious. They have a lot of interesting decisions to make cap wise. That I'm not sure what they're going to do. I can't really get a read on that. I think they'll probably cut like Corey Davis, but the other ones I'm not as sure about. So Carr or Rodgers, or fans are not going to be happy. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So Douglas did mention cap space in his talks on Tuesday too. Currently, according to Over the Cap, the Jets are just $264,000 over the cap.
Yeah.
So not drastically over it, but obviously not money to spend. But Douglas said, "We still have a lot of flexibility. We don't have hardly any money prorated into the future on our salary cap. So we have great flexibility to create very large amounts of cap space if necessary." You know, we saw the Saints, right, for years push the cap problems back year after year after year, right? It's something that if you're in the position the Jets are in right now, there's still a pretty good runway where you can kind of just push that problem. Eventually it catches up with you. But I think even though they don't have cap space right now on paper, there's going to be plenty if they need it, not just this year, but probably for a couple of years before it really catches up with them. Is that fair to say?
You can do extensions. Like you can take Carl Lawson and bump it out. You can add void years, which helps it out. I mean, the Jets, they don't have a lot of cap space now, but they have the means to create it.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing that Joe said, like the way he phrased it, like, We haven't prorated any money, so it wouldn't be that hard for us to create cap space. I wonder if he meant like he's willing to restructure and like do a thing with, which he hasn't done, which has been a good thing that he hasn't done. And like, you know, the Giants got into trouble with this with Gettleman at the end, and the Saints and the Eagles are always pushing it back. But so Carl Lawson is, I think, the most interesting one.
Yeah.
Because he's a really, really good player, but you also can get out of his contract like easily without dead cap, and that's like a big chunk of change. But also, shouldn't be giving up on talented guys at premium positions.
And then you got to replace him.
Yeah, and you got to replace him.
And
so
it's going to cost the same.
So he's someone I'm curious if, you know, a guy like him, if they look at restructuring his deal or adding a year to it or adding void years to keep him around, and you like, you know, as the cap goes up, you can like stomach, you know, spreading that out $5 million a year over the next 3 years. You know, they're going to have to restructure CJ Mosley because you can't keep him at $21 million cap hit. You know, Jordan Whitehead, maybe you keep him and you restructure. I think Dwayne Brown, maybe you restructure because you assume it's probably his last year if he comes back. Like, they have a lot. They have ways to do it. They do have some tough decisions to make. You do have to replace Corey Davis if you cut him. You have to replace even Berrios if you cut him.
Denzel. You got Denzel to step up. It's the Denzel
finally gets a chance.
Yeah.
War of attrition. He's the only one that lasts as long as he does. They have the means to create. Like, they're not going to go on a spending spree in free agency. Like, the last few years, So the tough part is, and the part that we haven't really said, you know, the reason why they're in this position where they have no cap space and they also don't have a quarterback is because they failed with Zach Wilson. And so, like, that's why they're under so much pressure to get it right this offseason. And they're not going to have the ability to go on a spending spree like they did the last 2 years where they went into free agency with, like, $70 million of cap space and they're able to sign Lake and Tomlinson and all these guys to big money. They're not going to – I don't think they're going to sign anyone to a huge contract. Maybe you get, like, a DJ Reed type guy.
Mm-hmm.
But they feel like they have the roster. Like, they have a better roster now than they've had in a long time. You know the team better than I do. This is the best, like, on paper roster they've had in a while. So you fill out the holes that you have on the roster. you try to make it work with some of these guys like CJ and Carl Lawson. Mm-hmm. And you know, you hope Jermaine Johnson develops. You hope Michael Clemens develops. You hope some of these guys develop. You get somebody, you know, on cheaper contracts. You know, they're impending free agents. There's none of them that you're like, we absolutely 100% need to bring them back.
Yeah.
Quincy Williams, I'm interested in see what they do. Connor McGovern, I feel like they might move on from him, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle, they're going to have to fill out that depth chart. Mm-hmm. But there's none that you're like, you know, we lose him, we're screwed kind of thing, yeah. Which is a good place to be in because they have a good core.
Yeah, if the Jets go into every offseason moving forward and they're the positions of need that you can say are safety and linebacker, they're going to take that because you can find plug-and-play players there in free agency. You can eventually draft someone in the middle rounds. I mean, they will take that every day of the week. The big one is they just need to figure out this quarterback
situation. Most
important
position.
Yeah, and it's wild, man, because, like, you think about it, like, I should actually go back and look specifically. I can't remember off the top of my head as colossal of a miss as Zach Wilson was at 2, getting another swing, or somebody getting another swing at that. I just don't remember that because, I mean, you think about it, like the Jets evaluated everything about Zach Wilson. They met with him in Zoom. They met with him in person. They watched his pro day. They watched all his film. They decided to draft him 2nd overall with everyone else that was on the board behind him. And I think what's helping them is that while Fields had moments last year and Mac Jones had moments as a rookie, there really hasn't been the quarterback that they picked Zach Wilson over that there was like, oh, like, my
that
God.
That you're like beating yourself up.
Yeah, like how did you do it? Or if it really was like a 50-50 split between Zach and Fields is now an all-pro, all-world player, and you got Zach Wilson, you're screwed. It's like, I mean, that makes it look worse. But the fact that Sal is getting another swing at this, that Joe is getting another swing at this, that doesn't happen. Like, usually when you miss this bad, that's it, you're done. And so they know they need to get this right because so few people get strike 2, and then no one gets strike 3, and that's what they're on. So they need to hit this one out of the park.
I looked it up at some point later in the season. I went back the last 15 years and looked at all the quarterback draft busts, and not a single coach was still there 3 years after that.
It's insane.
And most of the GMs, like some GMs lasted out because some GMs have like weird relationships with their owners or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty rare that the head coach survives it. So like that's why you're in a spot right now where you're going out. The Jets have failed to draft the right quarterback for forever. And so that's why they haven't really done this. They haven't like gone all in on trying to get a veteran.
Correct.
Right? Yep. Yeah.
Correct.
Like the last time would be Brett Favre, I guess. Where they go all in on trying to get somebody.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think. Like, so.
Because usually they've tried to like, okay, we're going to draft a guy. We have a bad draft.
Yeah. Because they had Sam. Like, so Sam, I started in 2014 and there was Geno and Fitz.
Yeah.
They ran it back in 16 with Fitz. They tanked in 17 and then they drafted Sam in 18.
Exactly.
So, and then Sam was, so yeah, as long as I've been there, like I get Jet fans will tell you like, oh, they'll remember back in the early 90s, but at least from 2014
on. It's been a while.
So yeah.
And because they also haven't had like a roster where they're a contender right now and like we're a quarterback away. And,
correct. Yep.
I mean, the best case scenario would have been Zach Wilson is good right now. And
yeah.
Then you have a guy on a rookie contract and you're able to spend all this money, which they did the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But instead, they had one of the worst busts of all. Like, he's truly one of the worst busts. His in Jamarcus Russell numbers.
Yeah. It's NFL history.
And so the craziest thing to me has been how willing they've been to like just, without saying it, like admit they're moving on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Joe kind of said something nice about him yesterday. Sorry, dying over here. But like, you don't keep saying like we're gonna get a veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
We're gonna the owner going on ESPN and being like, we need to upgrade the position. It's our biggest weakness. Like,
dude, it's stunning.
I've never seen anything like it because he's on the roster still. Like, it's not like they got rid of him yet.
Yeah, so. It's basically gotten to the point where like he has struggled so much his first 2 years that whether it's his teammates, whether it's his coaches, whether it's front office or whether it's ownership, they're all like, yeah, we missed on that one. Like, if it was any other team, it's almost like. Universal, you drafted a guy 2nd overall 2 years ago, and everyone is in lockstep that, no, he's not. We can't even consider him an option for next. Like, it's not even like, oh, he'll be the backup, and, like, you know, we'll get somebody like Jimmy or we'll get someone like Ryan, and then, you know, we'll have an open quarterback competition. No, they are going to – we need to replace him.
Yeah.
And they drafted him 2 years ago 2nd overall. It is stunning.
At this point, like, if Zach becomes anything, it'll just be like a bonus. It'll be like, all right, we have him on the roster, and he all of a sudden is good now.
There's a chance, man. He's not good. He would not start for 31 other teams.
Yeah.
If you would trade him now, you're not getting more than a 5.
Yeah, that's the problem, which is why he's probably sticks around. I'm sure they would listen if somebody called and said, like, hey, we'd like to talk to you about Zach Wilson. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. If they get another quarterback, like, what that means for – is he going to be third string inactive every week? Like,
you know what's funny is so I was out to dinner last night. Elliot Shore Parks, who covers the Eagles for WIP,
and he was asking about Zach Wilson. He goes like, and Duggan works for us, was saying the us.
You guys. Slip of the tongue.
That's the one. We're live here. Duggan said the same thing to me. He goes like, you can't believe that they're actually going to keep him on the roster next year.
Oh, yeah,
he's like, and Elliot said, he goes like, dude, he goes, do you realize how big of a distraction that would be having Zach Wilson? I was like, no, you guys don't understand. Like, it's not a distraction whatsoever because there is no, there are no,
there's no
teammates.
There's no contingent that's like going to bat. Like Carson Wentz is probably like what Elliot's thinking.
Correct.
Of. Like there are people that love Carson Wentz in that locker room.
Yeah, correct. And like you couldn't.
And I don't think anybody hates Zach, by the way. It's just like, no, everybody's like moving on.
They're realists.
From him.
Yeah. Yeah. They look like there is literally, like, there is going to be no distraction whatsoever with keeping him because you don't have anyone that is banging the drum of put him
calling
in there. You had
him,
the exact opposite last year where players were basically saying, get him the hell out of the lineup. Like,
yeah,
we
Mike
are
White,
losing because of him. We need Mike. We need everybody. Like, just don't have him. So, if you don't have the players that are clamoring in the locker room to put him in there, you don't have the coaching staff that's clamoring, you don't have the front office that's clamoring, you don't have ownership that's clamoring. He's just going to be there. And if you're the Jets looking at Zach Wilson, it's like, oh, let's just dump him. Let's dump him. It's a distraction. There is no distraction. But what you have to look at this is like, okay, we drafted the guy second overall 2 years ago. The most we're going to get for him right now is a fifth-round pick. Who's that fifth-round pick going to be? Probably some dude who, in the best-case scenario, turns into a special teams starter or a reliable backup. But in all likelihood, he's probably going to be out of the league within 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the fact. In all likelihood, he's going to be out of the league within 3 years. So why would we trade Zach Wilson for that, have the mud in our face of drafting a guy second overall, trading for a fifth-round pick? We'll just keep him, try to develop him, and see if we can't do something. Because the only thing that can make this Zach Wilson situation worse for the Jets is if they were to trade him to, say, the 49ers, who were high on Zach in the draft, or trade him to the Eagles, who were high on Zach in the draft, for a fifth-round pick, and then something happens where Zach takes over that team and becomes a star or a good quarterback or a serviceable quarterback, and suddenly everyone then turns and says, wait a minute,
it was the Jets
Zach
fault,
wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
It was the same old Jets. And that's what the Jets are going to try to avoid because it would just – that's the – I mean, this is a worst-case scenario, but I think Zach going and having
that
success
would just be
elsewhere
like insult to injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, one last thing before we say goodbye, and that is Quinnen Williams, the other big storyline here as we head towards the summer. The Jets have met with his agent, Nicole Lynn. What are you guys hearing as far as timing? I mean, I'm assuming that this is going to get done at some point, but but does it feel like it's going to go right up until training camp? Is he going to miss some training camp? Is there going to be a little drama before it's done? What's the latest on Q?
I don't think Joe is going to rush anything, but I also, you look at, it's a very unique offseason for like interior defensive linemen because Dexter Lawrence is up for a new deal. Jeffrey Simmons, Daron Payne just got franchise tagged. I'm sure there's some guys who need more money after all this. So they have a chance to like set the market, or they're going to have to react to the market. And so I'm very curious to see how that plays out because Quinnen has said he's going to hold out, at least in the offseason, until he gets a new deal. But this is not going to be like a Jamal Adams situation. I wasn't here for that. Like these are two sides.
Count your lucky stars.
Yeah. These are two sides that like want to get a deal done. Quinnen Williams is not going to demand a trade. Like it'll get done. I don't know like a timeline. I don't know how far they are along. I'm sure being here and Joe being able to meet with Nicole in person is probably helpful, but I don't know. I don't know if you have a read on like timeline for that.
It's also a more valuable position than
No, for sure not.
Personality differences and all
they don't
that.
Need to rush it.
Their priority right now is get the quarterback, and then after the quarterback, they'll start fortifying around the quarterback, and then they'll build out and they'll get to Quinnen when they get to Quinnen. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be with the Jets long term. I mean, yeah, he might miss OTAs, he might sit out mini camp, but he'll be back here for training camp and ready to go and be the monster that he is and the dynamic dominant player that he is. I think there's no doubt. I would be surprised. I would be very surprised if we're ever in a situation where we're talking about Quinnen Williams getting the franchise tag. Like, I think the Jets will have a long-term contract extension done well before that. There are just things of greater priority ahead of Quinnen Williams right now. It's get the quarterback, figure out that offensive line with the tackle position, and then you can work on taking care of him.
All right. This has been a lot of fun. Wish I was there with you guys.
But next year, I screwed it up, man. Because what you and I were here in 2020 or 2018?
It was 2020 because
right after pandemic,
the jokes
right before
go,
pandemic.
The combine started COVID.
Yes, that's right. So I remember like saying we were there. I was like, we're starting the hashtag Marissa to Indy. Like we were going to get Marissa here. Now we just flip it. We get Marissa and we lose you. And honestly, I liked it the other way more. So I think we should probably.
Wow. Get off my set.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No, we missed you, Connor. It was good to have you back.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I wish.
And we're getting dinner tonight without Tim. Sorry, Tim.
I don't know. We might be at dinner without Connor tonight.
It'll just be me and Marissa.
Really yeah. Rolling the dice here on this.
Yeah.
Finally right, feeling
sure we'll
myself
again. Down the road, Connor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good to see you. You guys have fun the rest of the time in Indianapolis, and we will be back. Well, I guess the next time we're going to be back is when either free agency or the Jets find a quarterback. We will be here immediately to react to that breaking news. While between now and then, go to theathletic.com/can't wait. You can subscribe right now to The Athletic for $1.99 a month for 12 months if you're a new subscriber, one of our better deals. So jump on that, and we will talk to everyone soon.